always on time. He never fails. He never disappoints. He never breaks a promise. He is beautiful for all situations. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Jesus a clap of praise one more time, everybody. Amen. It's really good to see you in church this morning. Amen. And this morning, I'd like to speak to you from the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus number 2, and I'm reading from verse number 13 to 15. Amen. We thank the Lord for Johnny Mercy, for Pastor Eunice, from UK to Nigeria and back safely. I didn't have to start ringing everybody to raise money for ransom. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord will deliver you all and your household from the wicked one, in the name of Jesus. Titus chapter number 2, the Bible says there, verse 13. Amen and amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior, on our Savior, Jesus Christ. In case there's someone here who is wondering if Jesus is indeed God, this is one of the scriptures that declares that Jesus is not only our Savior, but that He is God also. Amen. So this should be a source of comfort to you, that you are serving a living God. And the Bible records that someday He will appear again and we will see Him. And Titus is saying that we should be looking forward for that. Hallelujah. We should be looking forward to that blessed hope, the day of the appearing of our Savior. We should anticipate it. We must never, ever lose sight of that, and never, ever think that this world is all that we have. There is a better place coming. Amen. And verse 14 tells us that He gave Himself for us, this God and our great Savior that we're looking forward to, gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. So Jesus, when He died, the Bible records that He died to do three things. Three things are identified here. By the way, the topic for my ministration this morning is the glory of the sacrifice. The glory of the sacrifice. And verse 14 shows us three things that Jesus died for. What Jesus had in mind when he hung on the tree and died. It says number one is to redeem us from all iniquity. To redeem us from all iniquity. And number two is to purify unto himself and to make us a peculiar people, to purify us to himself, to sanctify us, to present us to himself as peculiar people. And number three, the Bible says he died so he can make of us a people who are zealous of good works. Amen. He redeemed us from all iniquity, purified us unto himself, and made us a peculiar people. And he made us a people who are zealous of good works. And verse 15 says, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thy youth. Paul admonishes Timothy, or Titus in this passage. And he says, speak of these things. Exhort the people in the light of these things. Let them know, let them understand what Jesus' death is about. And rebuke them with authority if they seem not to be conforming to these things. Rebuke them with authority. Hallelujah. So it's important, and I thought it may be coming to someone as a reminder, because you've heard these teachings many times before, but I feel led to look at this scripture with you this morning as I minister. Hallelujah. And to bring to you again these three things as an emphasis that Jesus hung on the tree to accomplish in us. We must constantly remind ourselves of this, constantly lay claim to this, and work in them. Work in them. Hallelujah. And when the Bible speaks of examining yourself to see whether you are in the faith, I think we can use these three things as yardsticks for measuring where we stand in our relationship with God. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. So the Bible says he redeemed us from all iniquity. From all iniquity. To redeem, which you should be familiar with by now, it means to buy over. To buy over by paying a ransom. You pay ransom over someone who was taken captive so you can, you know, buy his freedom. Hallelujah. And so by redemption, it means that Jesus bought our freedom by paying ransom. He freed us from iniquity. He redeemed us from iniquity. Hallelujah. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. And the word iniquity, it means several things, but it stands for the sinful behavior. It stands for wickedness. It stands for immorality. Immoral behavior. Sinful life, wickedness, immoral behavior, the things that Jesus came and bought us over from by paying ransom with his own life, with his own blood. Hallelujah. But iniquity, it's in another word, it means Satan's nature. Satan himself is an embodiment of iniquity. And that was the nature that man exchanged in the garden for when he submitted to Jesus. Man had a different nature before. He had the nature of God. He had in him eternal life. He had in him the glory of God. Hallelujah. And in the garden, when he disobeyed God, he traded that nature, the glory of God nature, with iniquity, which is Satan's nature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." They have disobedience have robbed them of the glory of God. That clothing came off them, and something else came on them, and it's called iniquity. Hallelujah. And that is what has separated man from God. God can never stand iniquity. God abhors Satan's nature. Hallelujah. And the instant that God saw that Satan's nature changed, when iniquity was found in him, God threw him out of heaven. That you can see in Ezekiel chapter 28. It speaks of Lucifer here. Ezekiel 28 verse 14 and 15. He says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." This scripture refers to Satan when he was Lucifer. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God." I'm reading from the King James Version. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee." The moment Satan became iniquity, he got separated from God. And the moment that nature was transferred to man in the garden, man was completely separated from God. He lost the nature of God. He lost the glory of God. He lost touch with God. But on the cross, the Bible says Jesus paid the ransom and bought us over and liberated us from iniquity. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Verse 20, very profound. "For ye are bought with a price." For ye are bought with a price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Jesus bought you over from iniquity. That is redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. Redemption means, the implication of that in redemption is that you are no longer a slave of iniquity. It's no longer your nature. You're no longer bound to iniquity. Satan has no hold on you anymore. And that separation between you and God was removed. Hallelujah. Now you can be identified with God, and now you can enjoy relationship with God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, and having made peace through his, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Hallelujah. Redemption from iniquity removed that separation between us and God. Redemption bought us over from the control of that nature, satanic nature. So it should not have dominion and control over us anymore. Redemption means now we have peace with God. Hallelujah. What made God turn his face against us is removed. What brought enmity between us and God? And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled. Hallelujah. There is reconciliation that has happened between us and God. God is no longer angry with the redeemed person. The person who is redeemed through the blood of Jesus. How many of you are redeemed in this place? Let me see your hand. Wave it to Jesus. You know that you're redeemed by his blood. Say amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of his glory. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you this morning? Praise the Lord. This is what redemption has accomplished, has achieved for us. This is what the sacrifice of Jesus meant, that we will enjoy redemption from iniquity. Hallelujah. From all iniquity. No one of you is a slave to iniquity anymore. Praise the Lord. No one here who is redeemed by the blood of Jesus has that nature that is incapable of living holy, living righteous, living godly, living in the fear of God. We all have power to live the life of God, because iniquity's hold on us was broken when Jesus with his blood paid the ransom. Hallelujah. And now we have peace with God. Put your hand on your chest and say with me, I have peace with God. the enmity between me and God has been taken away. If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
The implication of that also, you've heard that many times, is that you are no longer under curse. Curses came about as a result of the fall of man. And in redemption, curses were rolled back. You are no longer under curses. Amen.
Amen.
The power of generational curses broke the day you came under the redemptive work of Jesus. Family-related curses broke the day you came under the covering of the redemptive work of Jesus. Curses invoked through your past wickedness, your past misbehaviors, broke the day you came under the covering of the redemptive work of Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He took it out of the way. All ordinances that were against him were taken out of the way. So now the redeemed person can stand before God, not feeling guilty or condemned or inferior. The redeemed person can now go about his life feeling bold and protected in the beloved. The redeemed Christian, the redeemed person can now look to the future and be assured that what is written concerning him will come to pass, because Satan lost control over his destiny. If Satan lost control over your destiny, say amen with me.
Amen.
What happened at redemption also is the impartation of eternal life. When you give your life to Jesus and come under the redemptive work of Christ, eternal life is deposited inside you. Put your hand on your chest, say, I believe it.
I
have eternal life. In Jesus' name, I have eternal life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
To the redeemed person, someone who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, eternal life is not a prayer point. It's a reality. It has happened. Hallelujah. And eternal life is not, it's not talking about going to heaven only, is part of it. Eternal life is not talking about when you die, then you rise again, and then you will never die. Eternal life is Zoe. And Zoe means the God kind of life. You and I, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, have received the God kind of life. We have the capacity now to live the God kind of life. Hallelujah. We can do God's thing. We can be like God. We can behave like God would. We have the God kind of life, the capacity to live the God kind of life. Hallelujah. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Verse 11 and 12 says, and this is the record. This is what has been established. This is the reality of things. This is what happened to the new creation. That God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. We have received the God kind of life. We have the capacity to live right, the capacity to overcome wickedness, iniquity, atrocities. We have the capacity in the midst of wicked people to be good people. In the midst of a wicked system to operate in a godly system. Because we have the life of God inside us. We are no longer in bondage of the nature of Satan. We are no longer helpless such that we feel we cannot do it. It's happened to you. Amen. It's happened to you. All that God has done for you in your life, I pray they will begin to manifest. And manifest strong. In the name of Jesus. First John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 again. It says, and this is the record, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. The devil's world will not dominate you. The devil's system will not dominate you. The devil's nature will have no control over you because you are free. In redemption, God broke it. Hallelujah. And when he paid the price, the Bible did not say he left you there. He didn't leave you in Satan's domain. The Bible says he took you out of the kingdom or the domain or the control or the influence of Satan, and he planted you into a new kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. The kingdom of Jesus should be that kingdom that influences your behavior. The kingdom ideas, the kingdom principles, the kingdom worldview, the kingdom system must be what influences the totality of you. You see things in life based on the perspective of this kingdom, not satanic kingdom. Hallelujah. You can no longer be subjected to Satan's way of doing things. You must break it. And this is important because one of God's own vision is that not only to accomplish redemption by way of delivering us from iniquity, he wants us to become peculiar people. Hallelujah. Peculiar people. Say, I'm a peculiar person. The word peculiar means new, different, unique, a bit odd, not the usual, not we've been seen before. This is someone from out of this world. He is different. There's something different about him. That was God's agenda, that the redeemed person will now become someone completely different. Amen. And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Am I speaking to you this morning? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is the scripture that you are all familiar with. It says, but ye are a chosen generation. Say amen to that. Amen. A royal priesthood. Amen. And holy nation. A peculiar people. Every born-again person redeemed by the blood of Jesus is ordained to be peculiar, unique, strange, out of this world. People who are not of this kingdom must look at you and wonder why you think the way you think. Why does he behave this way? Why does he deal with issues this way? How come this person is just strange? There's something that separates me from him. Not necessarily in the way we look or the way we dress. Actually, I think peculiar people dress differently. Amen. But it's not about clothes or looks. But there must be a line between believers and those that are not saved in everything. Hallelujah. In everything. Being born again and coming into the kingdom of Jesus is not staying, living, practicing, behaving, going about your affairs in the same old way. There is nothing about you that is different with the ways of this world. It's not what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. It's so sad that many of us, you get to know that we are born again, actually only when we come to church. And then you stand by them and you can hear that they are praying in tongues and you wonder, oh, so this person too is filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you're there, maybe you're coming to the church for the first time and then you see him or her on the altar singing and you say, oh, so this person too goes to church. He's even a singer. But the place where we work the place where we work, some believers are worse. No testimony. No message. They can't see the glory of God. They can't see the difference. You see, God wanted the redeemed person to be a light to the rest of the world, such that they will ask questions and crave to want to be part of this new people. You see, that's why the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is designing the kingdom so that the others will see from us something new and different. But when you go to some places, when they put a born-again person here, and someone that will say is gay, she's lesbian, you know, they're ungodly. When you put them there, in terms of character, behavior, you want to relate with this one more. Amen. This is my charge to you this morning. Is to look at your life. Don't look at another person. I know we've encountered different people over the years. Different kinds of believers. Some have dealt with us horribly. Some have taken advantage of us, and you're wondering, is this person a Christian? But I wanted to not just look at to say, yeah, the pastor is talking about that terrible, terrible James in my workplace, and he said he's a born again Christian. Now, I wanted to look at your life. How much have you changed since you met Jesus? What impact has knowing Christ made in your life? Can someone live with you one day, 2 days, a week, and want to know your God because of how you've dealt with him? We are to show forth his praises. They will look at you and they will say, something is quite unique about you. You're such a different person. I've never met someone like you. Amen. You're just different. And finally, and all of this, they tie. All of these three things, they tie. It's what makes the new creation. It works. These are the things that make the born-again Christian. He's redeemed from the power of iniquity. The yoke broke. He's reconciled back to God. Now he has the capacity, because of the gift of eternal life, to live like God would. The God kind of life. He can relate with people like God would, whether good or bad people. He thinks God's thinking. He walks God's ways. You know, God destroyed the people of Noah's time, because the Bible says when he looked, he saw that their ways are far from his ways, and their thoughts are far from his thoughts. But now, We can think like God. And we can behave like God would. Because we have been impacted with a God kind of life. Amen. And then he gave us the ability to do good. And he's charging us to be zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Zealous of good works. When it comes to doing good, he wants us to be zealous at it. Who gave himself? Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous, anxious, passionate, desperate to do good, eager to do good. The world is eager to do wickedness, eager to do evil. They go about looking for opportunity to do atrocities. If they have a chance, they will ride on your shoulder to achieve their purpose. They don't give a damn about how you feel. But believers are not like that. We are zealous of good works. We don't only do good things. Believers do good things. The Bible gives us one strategy of even overcoming evil. It says doing good. It says be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil how? With good. Believers are not only good people, they are good works doers. We do good. We don't do harm. We don't do evil. We don't rubbish people. We don't do wickedness. We don't take advantage of people. We don't pull people down. We do good. We don't destroy lives. We don't steal from people. We don't ruin people's destiny and chances. We do good. We don't pay evil for evil because we are not evil. We are good. We do good. But we don't only do good. The Bible says he wants us to be zealous, desperately seeking for opportunity to do someone good. That's the kind of people Jesus is raising for himself, who can't wait to do good. Hallelujah. Can you put your hand on your chest, say, I receive the anointing for good works. In the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing for good works. In the name of Jesus, I receive quickening. I receive zeal. I receive passion. I receive grace for good works. In the name of Jesus. If you are with me, say amen. A believer must engage in good things, good works, good behaviors constantly, and must reject evil and reject the works of darkness. You must not get caught up. Hallelujah. Amen. You must not get caught up. You must stand to do good. By being this, the world will see you as being stupid, being foolish, being too religious. They'll call you all kinds of names. You just be you. Hallelujah. You just be you. You just be who God wants you to be. And what you must never forget, said God, is too close, is the one day we'll all see him face to face. And the Bible says that the only reason why you and I will not be ashamed on that day, the only reason why you and I will not be ashamed on that day is because as he is there, so are we here. As he is there, so are we here. We are living here, the God kind of life. May God all give us the grace to be the people that Jesus paid the price with his blood to make. In Jesus' name. Can you bow down your heads with me and let's pray, please? Maybe it's an opportunity for someone to rededicate his life to Jesus. If I've spoken to you and you think you need to pray to ask God to be more committed, to come more closer and deeper with God, why not take that time to pray about that? Tell him, Lord, I failed you in many ways. I've not met your expectations. But now I come to you through the blood of Jesus. I receive forgiveness. I receive cleansing, O God. I receive your mercy. I rededicate my life to you. Now may your Holy Spirit work in me and through me in a brand new way, that I will serve your purpose in my lifetime and glorify you here on earth. Oh, hallelujah. I ask, oh God, I ask in the name of Jesus, reach out with your hand and touch me. If you touch me, I will not be the same. Touch me, O God. Touch me. Touch me with your new touch. Touch me, O God. Mali brali tosu brodona kanta brali alaka. Jehida li brali tosu brodona kanda li bridis kedila barakataya. Andali kunda la bakaskata. I receive breakthroughs in all the areas of my struggles. I receive breakthroughs, O God. I receive breakthroughs, O God. I receive breakthroughs. I declare that I'm no longer under the yoke of the control of the devil, because in Christ Jesus, I am redeemed. I am free. Hallelujah. Any control over my life, I break it now. Any control, I break it. Any control, I break it. Any negative influence, I break it. I break it. Anything that holds me down, anything that's keeping me back, I break it. Negative influence, I break. I break. Satanic control, I break them now. I break it in the name of Jesus. I loose myself. I loose myself. The word of God says, if the Son of Man, the Son of God, if Jesus sets me free, I am free indeed. I proclaim, I declare, I confess my freedom, and I enforce it now in the name of Jesus. Can you pray that way, everybody, in the name of Jesus? I enforce it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As you're sat there, just wave your hands, everybody. Wave your hands up. Just wave it to Jesus. Everybody, without exception, wave those hands to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone whose hands is being waved to you. All of them, I bring them before you. I say, now reach out and touch them. Touch those hands. Come and wave those hands. Touch those hands. Touch them. touch them. Now put those hands on your head in the name of Jesus. Put those hands on your head in the name that is above all names. Receive transformation power. In the name of Jesus, receive grace to make progress. Receive grace to move forward. Receive grace to transform. Receive grace to achieve exploits in all spheres of your lives. In the name of Jesus, and I agree with you, that which is put on you by the enemy, planted in your life by the enemy, right now I kill it, I break its hold on you, and I cast it out. Be gone now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Say a big hallelujah. Say a big thank you, Jesus. If only